enjoy that singing tonight, say amen. There's still some praying, and there's certainly no rush, but go ahead and take your Bibles tonight and turn to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. Brother James, turn me up a little bit if you would, please, sir. Amen. Thank you, Miss Janice. Brother Tony, can you hear me all right back there? Okay, good, good. Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians is probably my favorite book in the New Testament. Joshua, my favorite book in the Old Testament. And somebody said one time, I believe it was John Phillips, said that he believed Ephesians to be the Joshua of the New Testament. And there's a great wealth of doctrinal truth in the book of Ephesians. The plan of salvation is clearly laid out in Ephesians chapter number 2. What happened when you were saved is clearly laid out in Ephesians chapter 2. I believe Ephesians chapter 2 is one of the greatest chapters in the Bible concerning the new birth and the faith of the believer, the salvation of God, and how it is wrought and how it is brought to pass, and what makes salvation work. Amen? It's the faith that God gives you to trust and believe in Him. But I want to look at something a little bit different tonight, and I try to preach along these lines every so often simply because we are human. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, you just a human. Amen. We get to thinking sometimes because we're saved and we all that in a bag of chips, but we just still a bunch of dirt bags. Amen. Sinner saved by grace. Very best you can hope for. Amen. And you know what humans do? Stupid stuff. Every last living one of us do stupid stuff. I want us to look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 32. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 32. One verse of scripture tonight to keep your Bible out. The Bible said, and be ye kind one to another. I like that. What's that word? And be ye what? Kind one to another. Who are we supposed to be kind to? One to another. That's right. That means me to you and you to me. Is that right? Now, that's real simple, but it needs to sink in. And be ye kind one to another. I like this next word. Say it with me. Tender-hearted. I like that. Look at this next word. Say it with me. Forgiving one another, even as Christ, or God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. In the book of Matthew, the Lord performs a miracle of exorcising some demons out of a man. And there was a herd of swine there, Brother Charles. You remember that? And the demons asked permission. You see, they need a dwelling place. And I don't want to preach on demonic stuff tonight, but we need to realize that it's real. Amen. We're fighting a real devil as much today as they were then. Amen. The demonic presences are more prevalent in America today than they ever have been. It used to be hidden in a closet and in the shadows of darkness, but now it's out in the open. Amen. 1969, Anton LaVey published the Satanic Bible, and from there, witchcraft and sorcery and the New Age movement and all this, it's real. But those demons, it's not got nothing to do with sermon, it's just coming out for some reason. Them demons had to have somewhere to dwell. They needed somewhere to live, not just spirits floating around. They needed something to house themselves in. And they asked the Lord a question. Hey, when he came down the road, they called his name. What have we to do with thee, thou son of David? They knew who he was. You know why? Because they used to live with him in heaven before they got kicked out with their fearless leader, the devil. Amen? So they see the Lord coming down the road, and the Lord, they know the Lord is fixing to tell them to hit the road, Jack. And they said, well, if we got to go, can we at least go in that herd of swine right there? If we can't possess this man, can we possess them swine? Lord, I'll never get this message. I'm just getting stuff coming to me. But we ought to preach this at a PETA gathering. Y'all know what PETA stands for, right? People eating tasty animals. Amen. If God didn't intend for us to eat them, why, they taste so much like food. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Help me. Bunch of tree-hugging weirdos. Listen, the Scripture will prove to you that God holds man at a higher level than animals. He didn't want the demons living in the man, but he could care less about them pigs. Hey, that'll help you right there. Next time you run into one of them crackpots, say, hey, what about them pigs? Show you what the Lord thinks about Ham. Amen. Anyway, and the people in the community got mad because the hogs run down a steep hill and went in the ocean and drowned themselves. You know what they got mad about? That was their money. They were farming. That's how they made a living. They didn't care that the man was cured of a demon, but somebody got in their pocketbook to do it. Now here's the fault tonight. Is it pigs or is it people? Is it pigs or is it people? Are we in the hog business or are we in the people business? There's a movement sweeping our nation called the mega church movement, and it is as straight out of hell as anything going. They're building great machinery is what they're doing. They've got all these programs, but you know what they're finding, Brother Atkins? They're finding that they're drawing the big crowds, but they're not keeping them. That's right. It's a rotating thing.
Amen. Amen.
I'm talking about this Rick Warren purpose-driven life, purpose-driven church stuff. It's a bunch of junk, and it will not work. Why? Because the ministry is not about money. It's not about fame. It's not about selling books. It's not about putting your face on television. It's not about popularity. It's about helping and meeting the needs of people. And without preaching the Bible, you'll never do that. Amen. We can have marriage classes. But what good is it if you're not saved and on your way to hell? If you're not saved, if either one, husband or wife, if both are lost or if even one is lost, you don't even have a foundation to build a marriage on.
Amen.
But they teach marriage classes but never preach the salvation of Christ.
Amen.
Why? Well, they don't care about people. They don't care about people. Did you know, and I'm probably get off on a tangent here, but when you join Creflo Dollars Church, how many of you have heard of Creflo Dollar? World Changers Ministries, downtown Atlanta, biggest church in the state of Georgia. When you join their church, you know what's required of you? You have to give them permission to do an automatic draft from your checking account. You know what they ask for? Your W-2s. They don't leave it up to you what to give. They take it. Y'all okay? I know churches that will send you a bill for your tithes. I'd like to do that. But God's just never given me liberty. Hey, man, I really would. Brother Tom comes to me crying, oh, Brother Eddie, please pray the offering's got to be this much or we ain't going to be able to make the bills. I'd like to just send out duns. Y'all know what duns are? Just send out, hey, you owe God, amen. But we had never done that. I feel if we gotta force you to do it, it's not done in the right spirit and we don't want it, amen. Y'all okay? What I'm saying is they're becoming more interested in the ministry than the people of the ministry. And we've got to keep in our fresh in our heart, and if we don't preach this kind of stuff from now on, from every now and then, it's easy for us to get caught up in that too.
Amen.
Sometimes it's so easy to get caught up in what you're doing that you lose sight of who you're doing it for.
Yeah, right.
Amen. How many of you are busy? Every one of us. Every one of us. I think about Miss Shelley and how much she helps people. She's raising 6 kids. That's a job, friend. We raised 3, and it at times had me pulling my hair out. Amen. I can't imagine 6 of them. Amen. But you know what that requires? It requires time. It requires time. Some of y'all run to her way too stinking much.
Amen.
Y'all right with that? Freddie ain't here. I say what I want. Sometimes y'all run to her way too much. Put too much on her. You'll try to take something off her.
Amen.
Amen. But I'm just saying, she still has time for others. She could be like you and say, well, I'm just so busy that I can't. But somehow she finds time to be a help and a blessing to other people. I didn't plan on using you tonight. I'm sorry. It just came out. Amen. I believe God was in it. Amen? Hey, listen. Is your life about pigs or is it about people? Are you in this church for what you can get out of it? I remember in my home church growing up, every election time, I'd say what office he was running for, but that might be a dead giveaway to who it was. And I love him with all my heart. But he had run for a pretty high office in Paulding County every time. Never won, but he always ran. There was only one time a year you ever saw him at church. He'd been a member there all my life, probably still is as far as I know. But election time, he is always there. Hey, how you doing? You gonna let me come by and put a sign in your yard, ain't you? What did he come to church for? Pigs. What was he at church for? Pigs. Trying to see what he could get out of it. Amen. It's not about what you can get out of the church. It might be about what the church might can get out of you. We okay tonight? If we're not careful, we'll get so wrapped up in ourselves. Have you ever noticed somebody missing in church for several weeks, but it was several weeks before it dawned on you? Somebody said, hey, have you seen so-and-so? What happened to them? Wasn't they here? Me and Brother Freddie do that all the time. Well, usually on Monday or Tuesday, we'll talk, and he'll say, was so-and-so there yesterday? And I'm going, Then I'll ask him, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? It's hard. It's hard to keep up. Now listen, here's the point of the message tonight. Me, Brother Freddie, and Brother Charles can't keep up with all this all by ourselves. It's not possible. It's not possible. We're not in the pig business. We're not about building a name for ourselves or a huge bank account. Amen? That's not what we're about. We're about making a difference in your life. And you need to get to that yourself. Let me give you several things. Now turn to Colossians chapter number 3. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Go to your right. Colossians chapter number 3. Look with me at verse number 12 and 13. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, watch this, bowels of mercies. Say this next word. Kindness, next word. Humbleness of mind, next word. Meekness, next word. Long suffering, next word. Forbearing one another. You know what? Let me stop right there. You know what forbearing means? Say it loud. Putting up with. You ever just put up with somebody because you love them? You got people in your family that's whacked out of their head. How much you gonna bet? You got some weirdos you're related to. But you hang out with them at Christmas because they're your family. Y'all all right? If they wasn't your family, you probably wouldn't have them around. Some of y'all look like you're scared to say amen, but you know it's the truth. Amen. I got to be careful. You say you got anybody in your family like that? No. That means putting up with. Don't say amen right here, men. But I wonder how many times you've just forbeared your wife. I'm getting some amens back there, boy. I wonder how many times your wife has forbeared you. I wonder, 27 years of marriage, how much of them 27 years my wife has spent just putting up with me? Come on, y'all all right? I just thought I'd hone in on that one little word right there just a little bit. Some of y'all need to learn to forbear. I've been very forbearing with some folks. Amen. Well, let me go on. Forbearing one another, and next word? Oh, that's a big one, ain't it? And forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Wow. Number one tonight, let me just say, if we're going to stay in the people business, we're going to have to be considerate of people. Let me say it again. If we're going to be in the people business, we're going to have to be considerate of people. In other words, we're going to have to worry about what people think. If we're not careful, we get the attitude, bless God, I don't care what nobody thinks. We better. We better. You can go to the extreme in both directions with this. Y'all listening to me? We need to, listen, did you know everybody has feelings? I don't care how tough you think you are, you got feelings. There's Jason Crow, 7 foot tall, 400 pounds, I don't know how much he weighs, big old boy. Tough. But I guarantee I'd hurt his feelings because he loves his preacher. The people you love have the greatest ability or whatever to hurt your feelings. People you don't like, you don't care. But people you love, when they say hurtful things or do hurtful things, it tears you up.
Amen.
Amen. And here we are in church. We're a family. We call each other brother and sister. Amen. If we're really brothers and sisters, we love each other if we really are.
Amen.
So we need to be considerate of the feelings of other people. Now listen, like I said, you can go in too far in either direction. You can be too soft. That's what's wrong with half the preachers in America. They're too soft. They won't even use the word hell or sin. They're afraid to. Somebody might get offended. Well, nobody will ever get saved if you don't preach on sin. Amen. Nobody will ever get right if you don't preach on sin. Y'all okay? Joel Osteen, when it came to the word hell, he said, Mr. Larry King, we just do not use that word. Well, what do you use? If you're not using that word, you're not preaching salvation. Nobody gets saved because they want to go to heaven. You get saved because you don't want the penalty and the punishment of hell. We okay? We can go too far in that direction and be so soft that nobody is ever convicted of anything. Now, I'm talking about in the preaching now. And by the way, sometimes the preaching ain't your job. God didn't put you here to straighten everybody out. Just throw out. Y'all getting that okay? Write that down in the fly leaf of your Bible somewhere. God did not put me here to straighten you out. My job ain't to straighten you out. That ain't my job. My job as a man of God is to tell you it's God's job to turn you. Some preachers are so controlling. Y'all okay? But we can go too far in the other direction too and be so stinking mean can't nobody stand to be around us. Y'all all right? You know what I tried to do as a young pastor? I tried to find a balance. Because I grew up in a crowd that was so mean that they had never reached today's society. Are you listening? There was a time and a place for that. But I thought, well, I don't want to go liberal. I don't want to back off on what I believe. But I don't want to sound like I'm glad everybody's going to hell either. I don't want to drive people away with the gospel. I want to draw people to Christ with the gospel. God, help me to find that balance. And it's a constant correction, like driving a car. You never just hold the wheel straight, do you? It's a constant making of corrections. Amen. Sometimes I think, boy, I've been a little too soft here. Or maybe I've been a little too rough here. Maybe we need to find the middle of the road again. Amen. What are you saying? Be considerate of people. Watch your mouth. Y'all listening?
Amen. Yes, sir.
You don't never know who's standing around when you're talking. If you need to have a conversation with somebody that should be private, make it private.
Amen.
I just did that and knew when it was over, I messed up. I thought I should have never had that conversation right there. Y'all okay?
Yeah.
Conversation needed to be had. We're just a little too loose with our lips. Loose lips sink ships. You understand that? Watch what you say. And when you do speak, check your words before they come out of your mouth. Somebody said, preacher, I just can't help it. It goes through my mind, it comes out my mouth. I've said it 1,000 times. That's a lie. That's a lie, that's a lie, that's a lie, that's a lie, that's a lie. If you cuss like a sailor, you wouldn't stand in a court of law and do it in front of the judge. You can control what comes out of your mouth. I used to say that. I used to say I didn't cuss in front of mama, did you? But we cuss like sailors when she wasn't around, didn't we? Tell me, well, I just can't help it. Yeah, you can. Yes, you can. Bite your tongue. When you feel like you just really ought to say something, that's a good indication you ought not to. Amen. If you get that place where you feel like, you better back off somewhere and think. Because you're fixing to make a donkey's backside out of yourself. Y'all okay? I don't know how many times I've popped off and wished I hadn't. I forgot what it was even about. Where's Brother Tom? He's hiding. He called me. It was during the youth rally, I think. We was having something. And I was up to here. And I popped off at him. I mean, just shot my mouth off. I was ugly. I was going to say I wasn't ugly. I didn't say nothing ugly. I was just real short. Real short. Boy, as soon as I hit that end button, the Holy Spirit smote my heart. And he said, that man never does anything but everything you ask him. Amen. He stressed to the max over these bills. And I forgot what it was he even called me for. And boy, I just began to weep. I called him right back. I said, hey, brother, I'm sorry. When you're stressed out, try not to even talk to people. Y'all all right? Just keep your mouth shut. Go your way till you're in a better mood. I didn't say stay home from church. Maybe sit in the balcony. Y'all okay? There's just days when I don't need to be around you. Are y'all okay? There's just days when I don't feel much like being in public. Because I would rarely snap your head off, but some stranger, scapegoat. Y'all all right? There's days we just need to watch ourselves. Watch your conversation. Be considerate of others. Did you know when you type something on Facebook, the potential of how many thousands of people get to see that? I'm not... In a sense, I'm not against Facebook. There's some people around here who do well with it. But there's some others who cannot control it. There's stuff you shouldn't even respond to. Y'all okay? I know more people have gotten hurt and out of church over Facebook than about any other thing I know. Let me tell you a way to keep that from ever happening. Don't have Facebook. Amen. I don't want to know what they're saying. Y'all all right? Watch what you type. Do you know they say you can't ever get it back? You can't undo it? Oh, there's been some people come to me and say, oh, this is what so-and-so put on Facebook. Now, I've tried to turn a deaf ear. But boy, there's been times I want to say, hey, would you respond back to this for me? Would you respond this back for me, you know? I started to get Justin to give me the passwords of the churches and where I could get on there and just gut them. Amen. And most of that silly junk I could. Answer not a fool according to his folly. Be the mature one in the party. Be the mature one in the group. You know what? You can respond to some of that stuff not with your own words. Just put a verse of Scripture down there. Amen. Use some of these we've been given tonight. Y'all all right? Yes, be considerate of others. Watch your conversation. 1 John chapter number 3. Keep going to your right. 1 John chapter number 3. I'm going to be longer than I thought. Is that all right? Amen. 1 John chapter number 3. Verse number 17. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 17. Y'all there? The Bible said, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion for him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? I said, number one, if we're going to stay in the people business and not the pig business, we need to be considerate of others, but we need to have a godly concern for others. Amen. Somebody said, I've got too much of my own to worry about. This is what I've learned over the years. If you'd be more concerned about the needs of the people around you, you'd be less concerned and worried about your own stuff. And you'd find out if you'd just do things God ways, all that stuff you worried about all the time, take care of yourself. Y'all all right? But do you know what it takes to be concerned about others? You've got to pay attention. You've got to pay attention. Ask the Lord to show you. Maybe the Holy Spirit would say, hey, when you shook Brother Atkins' hand tonight, he seemed a little down. Why don't you give him a call? I'm not saying call. What's the matter with you?
Amen.
And that's the way people do. You're stupid.
Amen.
That makes things worse. What's your problem? Now it's you.
Yeah.
Amen. Approach people in the right way. Just say, hey, had you on my heart. Just want to call and tell you I love you. Amen. I don't even fuss at people when they ain't in church. I got one I'm calling on my phone on the way home tonight. I'm not going to say, where were you? I'm just going to say, hey, I love you. I miss you.
Amen.
And they'll usually start right off, oh, yes, you know. You know what I'm talking about? But they need to know we care.
Amen.
And it's real easy, Brother Atkins knows, and Brother Charles, it's real easy as a pastor. For years I had this attitude, well, bless God, I know where I'm at. They know where I am. I ain't the one missing.
Yeah.
It's real easy to get that attitude.
Sure, yes.
Well, so-and-so would come back to church if you'd go see them. Well, I don't know where they at. Tell them to come see me. That was my attitude. And some people are with it, it still is. One man said, if you'd go visit so-and-so, they'd be back to church. If you'd go talk to them. Okay. That's a few years ago. Are y'all listening? We need to have some discernment about us. If you're not careful, people will let you chase them and chase them and chase them and chase them. And while you're chasing them, the ones who really need and want help are getting neglected. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
Amen? But we need to be considerate of others. And to do that, we're going to have to pay attention. We're going to have to pay attention. I don't mean be nosy. You know, so you hear what I'm saying? I'm not talking about being nosy in their life, but just ask the Lord to give you some discernment.
Amen.
Look around. Look around. I'm fixing to take the men on our leadership, and I'm going to divide our church into about seven groups. And it's going to be their job to keep up with each person in their list. Or get off the leadership group. People need to be cared for. That's what they come to church for. Amen. I got Stacy in my group. That's all I can handle. Amen. Give them everybody else. I'll handle you. Amen. His daughter already told me, said, pray daddy don't fight in my wedding. Amen. He won't, I promise you. Because he's got to stand on this side of me. Yeah, I might be surprised. Anyway, seriously, do you a little mental checklist. When you come to church, look around. Have you already thought about somebody who's missing tonight? I can rattle you off quite a few. Some of them I can tell you where they are, but some of them I can't. Some of them have legitimate reasons for not being here. Just because somebody's not at church, don't judge. Don't just jump to the conclusion, well, they're just backslid. Because there's going to come a day when you're sick or your child's sick and somebody might say, oh, they just backslid. Amen. You usually get back what you give out. Amen.
Amen.
But we're going to have to be considerate. I want this to be a church where people come in and they really feel like they're loved.
Amen.
People really care. Amen. About their lives. So if we're going to stay in the people business and not the pig business, be considerate of others. Be concerned about others. Listen, 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Go back to your left. A couple more. You got time? 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Now, this is a big one right here, especially when you're a working church. Now, if you've been to many churches, you know what I'm talking about. I preach around the country, and there's some churches that just don't do nothing. I mean, they really don't do nothing. They have church 3 times a week. They don't even have a visitation program. I preach in churches that does not have a visitation program of any kind. The preacher goes and visits the sick in the hospital. That's their visitation program. They don't go soul winning. They don't run buses. They don't have an active youth program. They just don't do anything. They have one meeting a year and call it revival. So this doesn't come that much into play in those kind of churches. But in a church like this, here's what my mother-in-law said years ago. And I've got the godliest mother-in-law, I guarantee you, as anybody ever had. She's a champion, buddy. But she first started coming here. She came from a Southern Baptist church. And she first started coming, and she told my wife, she said, "I'm afraid to join Happy Valley." She said, "Why?" She said, "Because that's not a church where you can just sit." I thought, wow, that's a compliment. She said, "It's the kind of church where if you don't get involved in something, you just ain't going to feel right."
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're a working church. Look at, where did I tell you? 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Look with me at verse number 9. Watch this. "For we are," say it, "laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." I said if we're going to stay in the people business, we're going to have to be considerate of others, concerned about others. But listen, if we're going to do anything for God, we're going to have to be able to cooperate with others.
Amen.
Are you listening? We're going to have to be able to cooperate with others.
Amen.
Growing up in church, and when I was little, it was, bless God, the pastor said it, that settles it. Kind of a sure enough dictatorship type deal. Did y'all know that's not what this is? Well, it got quiet. Coming from the pulpit, it may seem that way, but get in these private meetings with me and these men. I'm gung-ho and full of zeal and think we can leap tall buildings in a single bound. We start planning our calendar, and I'm, bless God, let's do this. Whoa, Brother Warren's the best in the world. Whoa, Preacher Hank, slow. Whoa. Easy, boy, easy. I don't buy, you know what they'd do, though? If they said, "Bless God, I said this is the way we're going to do it," they'd say, "Okay." But I'm glad the Lord gave me the ability to say, "You're right. That's too much. That's too soon. That's too fast." What are you saying? I'm saying we have developed the ability to work together.
Amen.
Amen. I know of a situation going on right now with a young preacher who is working with another preacher who is not approachable. Not approachable in any way, shape, or form. He's too high for that. We need to come down off our high horses.
Amen.
Amen. And that realize we are walking around in the same kind of flesh that the people we're trying to help are walking around in. You're as apt to make a mistake and do wrong as anybody in this whole place. I'm not above a bad decision. I could sit and make you a list, but I really don't want to. Amen. I'm not above a bad decision. If Brother Charles comes to me and says, "Brother Eddie, we shouldn't have done it that way." You're right, Brother Charles. Let's back up. Let's fix this. Let's get it right. And let's go on.
Amen.
But that means we've got to work together.
Amen.
Working together doesn't mean I'm always right, you're always wrong.
Amen.
Working together does not mean do what I say, not as I do. Y'all okay?
Yeah.
Working together means getting along. You know what? And the more you work together, the more you apt to have conflict.
You're right.
Amen.
You ever want to kill somebody at work? Come on. I mean, really, just grab them, choke them till their chest stopped going up and down. Had dreams about it. There was a city of Atlanta inspector. Anytime I had to do plumbing work down there, this guy hated my guts, and I did his.
Yeah.
I dreamed about killing him. I really did. I dreamed about killing him. Got in a big fight with him one day. I said, I throwed the code book on the hood of the truck. I said, "Show me in the code book where you're right and I'm wrong." He turned to page 1, power of authority. He said, "What I say goes, dig it up."
Yeah.
There's going to be conflict. There's going to be days that I make you mad. That's hard to believe in. There's going to be days that you make me mad. And there's going to be days that you make each other mad. It's just like a family, isn't it?
Amen.
Bless God, I'm mad. We're going somewhere else. Now, I ain't talking about leaving over huge issues like forsaking the Word of God. If I start preaching out of the NIV, y'all find y'all another church.
Amen.
Or fire me and get you one that'll preach it right. Amen. Y'all okay?
Amen.
But I'm talking about petty things. He said, she said. Somebody didn't shake my hand. Come on. Toughen up a little bit.
Amen.
Toughen up a little bit. We have got so sensitive in our society. Everybody's offended over every little thing. Right after 9/11, when the planes crashed, I was preaching in New York, Rochester, New York, 1,500 people there. I got up and told a joke, and 30 people got up and walked out. I told a joke. This was right after 9/11. I said they arrested an old woman at the airport. They said she tried. I said she tried to get on the airplane with a pair of knitting needles. I said they was afraid she'd knit an Afghan. Offended them. I mean, they got up and walked out. I thought that was funny. A few years ago, the ACLU and the NAACP and all that crowd all tore up over the tomahawk chop. Do you know the only people that did not get offended? The Cherokee Indians. They went to Cherokee and interviewed them, Stacy, and they said, "What do you think about the tomahawk chop?" "We think it's cool." Everybody's looking for something to be offended over. Amen. Listen, let's cooperate. Hey, sometimes as pastor, you may not like my ideas. It'll be all right. In our ministries, in our children's ministries. Brother Warren, Brother Robbie, these guys put the programs together, bus promotions, and they'd really do their big days and their roundup Sundays and all that. How many times have I told you no? Do you think I've just loved every idea you've ever had? There's been a time or two I've scratched my head and I thought, what in God's dear name is the perfect? It'll be all right. Y'all okay?
Amen.
What are you saying? We're working together.
Amen.
Amen. I don't want to crush their desire to lead. Now, if it gets stupid, I'm going to say, hey, you know. No, we're not having no shirt Sunday, no.
That was next week.
That was next week, Robbie said. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Just because I don't like what they're doing don't mean what they're doing might not be all right. It may just not be something I'm crazy about. Y'all okay?
Amen.
We got to work together. If we're going to get anything done for God, we have to be able to look over one another's faults. Sometimes they may have to be dealt with. It gets to bothering you so much, you might have to go say, hey, Brother Charles, I love you, but this is really bothering me. We need to get this set. Don't stop coming to me unless it's me that hurts your feelings. That ain't the Bible answer. Y'all okay?
Amen.
Brother, I just don't know what to do. Yeah, you do. Man up.
Amen.
Get a backbone. Go say, hey, sister, we got a problem. Pray God gives you the right spirit. Do it in the right spirit, but go to one another. Hey, when you and your wife get in a fuss, you don't recall me.
Amen.
Brother Eddie, she's nagging on me again. One boy called me. I told him flat-footed no before they ever got married. Brother Charles, remember it like it was yesterday. All I'd have to do is hint toward a name. I said, do not, in front of the girl, I said, do not marry her. She's crazy. I told him flat out, don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't do it. Well, he got married. Moved right down the street from me. Every night my phone was ringing. Every night. She's hitting me. Promise you with my hand up. What should I do? I hit her back. He called me one night and said, "Brother, she's packing and I don't know what to do." I said, "Help her."
Yeah.
Rent her a U-Haul, son. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one.
Amen.
You say, you really did. Oh, yes, I did. If they'd have followed my advice to begin with, they'd have avoided all that. But you don't call me every time your wife makes you mad. Thank God. But call me every time somebody else makes you mad. Bible don't tell you to do that.
Right.
Says if your brother's offended you, go to it.
Amen.
And if that don't work, carry somebody with you next time.
Yes.
Amen. Are we scriptural?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Made my phone bill go down. The only way you're ever going to work together is you got to work things out.
Amen.
Y'all listen, does that make sense? The only way you're ever going to work together, you got to be able to work things out. I don't know how many times, I got one more and I'm done, I promise. I don't know how many times I was a commercial plumber for years. I've worked in most of the high-rises downtown Atlanta. It never failed. I would rather have a green helper than a very experienced one. Because there's more than one way to do anything. Are you listening? I said there's more than one way to do anything. And it never failed. They'd show up on the job and say, hey, I'm so-and-so, and I'm a journeyman, class two, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, they got to start giving you their credentials all of a sudden. And I say, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to catch the drain lines on this floor, you know, and they'll start. And I say, whoa, 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 no, we're going to do it like this. Well, that ain't the way I've always done it.
Yeah,
so bless God, we ain't on your job, you on mine.
Yeah.
But then I learned something. I would say, well, tell me how you've always done it. And brother, there's a time or two I went, you just saved us about $250 in material. Go for it. I like that.
Amen.
You'd be surprised. Somebody might know something you don't.
Yeah.
Y'all all right? Somebody might just know something you don't. You ever work with somebody you can't tell them nothing?
Amen.
I've had them come on a job and look at what I'm doing and go, hey, that looks good, but check this out. And you go, wow. Well, that's good when we have the ability to put our knowledge together and come out with a better solution to what we're doing.
Amen.
Don't get the place can't nobody tell you something. We got a lot of preachers like that. I used to fuss at my wife. I told her, I said, don't you ever, ever correct my preaching. I said, I was young, full of myself. We'd get in the car to go home. I'd say, how was it? I stopped asking that. Years ago. If I think I've done bad, I don't even look at her. She'd get in the car and she'd say, you know, you really shouldn't have said what you said. Ah, bless God. You submit. Don't you mess with my preaching. That's between me and God. I was praying one night. I said, God, please help me. Please help me to do right when I preach. He said, I'm trying. You won't listen to her. Hey, I come to realize that there is nobody under the sound of my preaching who wants me to do well more than her. Nobody. There's nobody more concerned in me making a fool out of myself than she is. Y'all all right? And I figured out God's gave her pretty good discernment.
Yeah. Amen.
I was going to hire a guy one time. Brought him here from another state. Was going to hire him to work in our school to be our principal. Highly qualified. Nuclear physicist. Highly qualified. Well, me and my wife took him out to eat, kind of a meet and greet, get to know him, you know. We went to Walmart afterward. We're walking down. She's silent. Ain't silent. What's bothering you? Nothing. I asked her 15 times. You know the drill. And finally, we're walking down the aisle in Walmart. She said, you going to hire that man? I said, well, yeah, I think I really am. She said, well, don't get mad at me, but he's a perv. I said, what? She said, I'm just telling you, he's a pervert. I said, how do you know? She said, I just do. You was never alone with him. I sat at the same table you sat at. I saw a brilliant scientist. You saw a pervert. How in God's dear name? And boy, something clicking in the back of my head saying, listen.
Yeah.
Well, I called him back and I said, brother, love you, thank God for you, but it just ain't going to work. Well, another preacher I know hired him. Within 6 weeks' time, he was fooling with a student's parent in their church. Whew, that could have been us. Thank God I'm not so bullheaded to think that I'm always right. She nailed it on the head.
Amen.
And I asked her after that, I said, okay, Miss Queen Goddess, spiritual guru, how did you know? She said, I don't know. She said, I just picked up on it. She said, I could just tell the way he looked at me. I said, okay. Yeah, women pretty sharp sometimes. Might help your marriage if you'd listen. Amen. That's pretty good counseling right here. Y'all just, you may not even need me after church. Amen. Amen. You don't know it all. And you never will know it all. Amen. I've learned not to tell my men and my deacons, one of them's in Thailand, Brother Tommy, Brother Warren, both of them, they'll tell you, if I'm lying, stand up right now and say he's not telling the truth. I never lead this church with a, bless God, this is the way it's going to be, attitude. Never. I throw out an idea. You know what my next question is? What do you guys think? I really want to know. Y'all okay? We're going to have to be able to cooperate with others. Amen. I remember when I went to kindergarten right back here where our nursery is, that's where I went to kindergarten when this was the First Baptist Church. I remember the notes going home to my mother, doesn't play well with others. I wasn't used to somebody getting my Tonka truck. Amen. I had a rule. If I'm playing with it, it's mine, bless God. Amen. I had to learn, get along with people. I wasn't sheltered up under grandma and grandpa no more. I was out in the real world. Amen. You have to learn to get along with other people. Lastly, and I'm done, go back to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. Listen, we're going to have to be considerate. We're going to have to be concerned. We're going to have to be cooperative. Hey, do you ever go home from church and wonder, I wonder if I hurt her feelings?
Amen.
Have you ever done that? When you wonder that, you might ought to check. I wonder if I hurt his feelings. I hope that didn't come out wrong. People call me and apologize all the time, and I ain't got a clue what they're talking about. Brother Eddie, I'm sorry if you took that. I didn't take that wrong. Sheila called me one day. When was that? It's been a while. I mean, she's tore all to pieces. And don't matter. I said, we okay, hon, as far as I know. Hey. But I appreciate the gesture, amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know what that showed me? She was concerned about how I felt.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's drop this attitude and bless God, I don't care how you feel. Be considerate.
Amen.
Amen. Be considerate. Be concerned. Be cooperative. Look at Ephesians 5:2, and I'm done. And walk in love. As Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. We need to learn to be Christ-like toward others. For several years, them little rubber bracelets was real popular. What would Jesus do? And you're supposed to wear that bracelet in a reminder that in every situation you ask yourself a question, how would Jesus handle this? How would Jesus handle it? You know the only people Jesus scolded really bad and fussed at? False religious crowd.
Amen.
The fakes and the phonies.
Yes.
Sinners? Boy, he was understanding, wasn't he?
Yes,
he was kind to them. He loved them. He preached to them the truth.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. He got on old Peter one day, didn't he? He said, get thee behind me, Satan. He said, the devil has desired to have you to sift you as wheat. He had to put them in line and every now and then, but he did it in a good way. Remember when they was fussing over who's going to be the greatest?
Amen.
The Lord said, hey, boys, it's like this. Whoever's willing to be the smallest, that's who will be the greatest. And that's how he taught his disciples. What was he doing? He was being Christ-like. And that ought to be our role model. I used to, I fly just about everywhere I go now. I used to drive. And I mean, I drive all over the country. And I'd love to get preaching CDs or tapes. Back then it was tapes. And I'd listen to them tapes while I drive, just preaching sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon. And somebody gave me, it was Brother Rusty Weathers. Brother Rusty Weathers gave me a sack. And I'll just tell you the preacher's name. gave me a sack, this big, brown paper sack, full of Phil Kidd tapes. I listened to Phil Kidd all the way to Louisville, Kentucky. Preached all week, drove home on Friday night, listened to Phil Kidd all the way home. I got back in the pulpit Sunday, and my church thought they had a different preacher. Oh, you bunch of stinking reprobates, oh, you. I'm doing everything but cussing them. We got home, my wife said, what, did you eat gunpowder for breakfast? What happened to you? She said, you have skint everybody's hide. She said, I was ashamed to be your wife. She said, what happened? Then took me a few days, and it dawned on me. I've been listening to Phil Kidd all week. Y'all all right? To be Christ-like, you got to be careful what you take in. Hey, don't get, I love Brother Phil. I still love his preachings in small portions. Amen, because I'm a copycat, son. I'm like them birds. They say what you say, you know. Yeah. I come home and call people bad names, brother. Yeah. Y'all all right? Yeah. Don't go out here and say Brother Eddie hates Phil Kidd. He don't. I love him. He's a great tent revival preacher. But he could never be a great pastor, amen? Y'all all right? We want to be Christ-like. We want to respond to people in the right way. We was in Gatlinburg, Tennessee years ago. We carried a group of young people. Dear preacher friend of mine, love him to death. The Lord teaches me the Bible through watching other people. And the Lord will remind me of some scripture. We were at the, anybody ever been to the Dixie Stampede in Gatlinburg where they have the big show and you eat, get the whole chicken? I like that. Every time I've been, the South won, hallelujah. Yeah. I love to go to the Dixie Stampede. But if you get there early, you got to sit in this little, it's a saloon, like an old cowboy saloon. You sit in before you go in. And they come around, they've got apple cider and all that stuff, you know, but they got dance hall girls. And them dance hall girls go around selling garters off their legs. And she came up to this preacher, Brother Atkins, and she threw her leg up on the stool up beside him. She had them garters about right there. She said, would you like to buy a garter? He said, ma'am, no self-respecting woman would do what you're doing, only a street-walking whore. I thought, you just helped her. You just really, really helped her. Christ went and sat on a well one day. Little lady came to him that was really living in a sinful situation, not being a little risque to make a living, feed her children. You listening? Jesus never called her a bad name. He said, would you go get your husband? She said, I don't have a husband. Jesus said, I know. You've had five. And the one you're living with now is not your husband. You know, she didn't get offended at him. Not one time. Why? Because he handled her like Christ handles people.
Yes, he did.
Amen. Hallelujah, brother.
He could have called her a name, but he didn't. I've heard a lot of preachers call her one. Mm-hmm. I have. I've heard that W word used with that little woman I don't know how many times growing up. All she was a whore. And I hate to even say that word quoting somebody else.
Amen, brother. Amen.
But y'all understand why our kids ain't in here tonight. You listening? Jesus didn't call her one. Why do you have to?
Amen.
I'm not saying be so soft that we can't preach against sin. But we're going to have to be like Christ if we're going to reach people. Y'all all right tonight? We're going to have to be considerate. We're going to have to be concerned. We're going to have to be cooperative. I thought about throwing that word compassion in there. But I think it just fits so well with being Christ-like.
Amen.
And if some have compassion making a difference.
Yes.
When Jesus saw the multitude, the Bible said he was moved with compassion. He cared. You don't beat people up and slaughter people you care about.
Amen.
You have a genuine desire to be a help and a blessing. Amen? Let's remember that we're in the people business. Not the pig business.
Amen.
It's people, not pigs.
Yeah.
on that bus Sunday morning when them disruptive brats get on. Try to remember. And there's times you have to have discipline. You've got to. Amen. But you know, if all you do is scream and holler on your bus, that's all your kids are going to do too. Or in your Sunday school class. Or in your home.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. I hope maybe something was a help. Zach, that you and Jeremiah come. They're going to hand out our prayer sheets tonight. Listen, before they come, let me say it's good to have Brother Daniel's mom and is that stepdad, Brother Daniel, is that right? And Brother Daniel's stepdad and his brother, they're here all the way from South Texas, amen? And Miss Josie, that's Brother Daniel's mom, she's the one. I love being able to put a face with somebody I've been praying for. She's the one we've been praying for so long with the cancer. So, and we're going to keep doing that. We love you, sis. It sure has been an honor to have you. And if the Lord had put it on your heart, find this preacher a good place to deer hunt down in South Texas, amen? I know they're down there, amen? Amen. It's good to have y'all. I'm just joking, but really, if you did have a place, I'd... me and my son, we'd be obliged to come visit, amen? But it has been good to have y'all. Listen, don't forget Brother Shane. I don't know if anybody put that. Maybe Brother Tom put that on the prayer list, but he was pretty bummed up, and not just in his body, but in his spirit. I'm telling you, when you have everything going wrong all the time, it can get to you, and it can get real heavy. He fell Saturday night, whenever they had the big fireworks here. Was that Saturday? Anyway, he was going up a set of steps, and his leg fell off, and he fell backwards all the way down them steps. In front of all them people, embarrassed the fool out of him. So, yes, bless his heart. Y'all pray for him. Pray God just lift his spirit, and he's pretty banged up and sore, too. So just pray the Lord to touch him, all right? Come on, get you a prayer sheet, and pray till you get done. When you get done, you're dismissed.